In 1919, he hit 29 home runs and was sold to the New York Yankees.
A three-run home run for Buffington. The Yankees now lead it by a score of 3-2.
Bill Lee is now going over to a couple of the Yankees, and there they go again.
Swung, hits it to deep left. That might send the Yankees to the World Series.
Varitek and A-Rod going at it. Roberts is going. Posada's throw. Roberts, safe.
What can I say? Just dip my heart and call the Yankees my daddy.
Welcome to Fanbase, a deep dive into the greatest rivalry in sports. Brian Shackman here. We have, of course, the lovely John Senecal and Matt Sirois, who usually produces the show, sitting in with us because he can, and we always love to have him. We are recording on March the 20th, right? And the reason why it's important is because it was 4 years ago on the 20th that our whole world shut down. And I remember, and you know, and John, it was your idea to talk about the anniversary. I hadn't even thought about it. And we all can remember, and I want to hear from all of you what was going on. Because I remember I took my family to Mexico. And
on this date?
No.
We ran for the border?
So we were there on like the 11th. Yeah. And we researched, because we were going to cancel the trip, and then we researched it. There were only 6 people in all of Mexico with COVID. And the closest was a 6-hour drive from where we were going. No, I'm serious.
I bet you there was more.
Yeah.
No.
who's reporting these numbers?
That's what the statistics were.
That's all part of this, like, right?
Yeah.
Like, at that point, like, that's what it was down to. Like, there's 6 people in Mexico that have COVID. Like, come on, right?
But we went to Mexico. Then our friends were supposed to meet us. They canceled on us. And so that was the worst vacation, because the last 3 days we're there, we're like, should we go home? What do we do? And the day after we got home, air travel.
Done.
And so, like, what if I got stuck in Mexico? I have no idea I would have had to rent a car and drive home from Mexico. It was like, that was the stressful part for me. And I don't know, where what were you doing?
Geez, that's a good question. I mean, I think we kind of like saw it a little bit, like creeping, because you saw the stuff starting around Christmas time. You could, you know, read about stuff happening.
Really?
Well, you read about it if you were like were paying attention. That stuff was happening around the world. There was stuff going on.
Early.
But I think it really started hitting like everybody when people like literally were starting to like lose their jobs. Like they just businesses were just like, all right, we're done. Like they kind of saw it coming like that week ahead of time, and then they officially shut it down. But I just remember that, like, the kids being home. That's what I remember. And, like, that 1 week where they thought it was going to be, like, a holiday because they weren't – it was, like, 1 or 2 weeks where they got the online schooling up
right.
and running. And then it was, like – I called it COVID Academy that they went to. But, I mean, it really wasn't school. But it was a precursor of what was to come for the kids, really. Because
awful.
Yeah, everything just kind of turned into a digital
– Oh, it was 2 weeks. Flatten the curve for 2 weeks, and that's it.
And flatten the curve and flatten our kids' brains.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I remember for me, I had a wedding booked on March 13th, and it was a friend of mine getting married, and the venue was like, I don't know if we can go through with this. And they're like, we're getting married. Like, we already paid for everything. Like, we're doing it. And then the next day was March 14th was when everything closed down. So I got one last wedding in, and that was it. And then just a few days later, like, we're talking about,
and you worked here.
Yeah, I was here.
And did you continue to come into work?
It was funny. I've never worked more in my life than during COVID.
Because you were the only one in the building, so you had to do everything.
I was like an OG, yeah. So I was like here all the time covering shifts here at our station here at WTIC, also over at the other 3 stations.
Did Ray ever do it from home?
He did. He was basically forced to.
Ray Dunaway, who hosts the morning show that I host here in Connecticut on WTIC News Talk 1080.
Yeah, he hated it. He hated it more than anything because he was old school, and loved to come in, loved to be in the studio.
Yeah.
And, he eventually had to do it from home.
Were you working?
No, I was like self-employed at the time and then about to just not have anything, right? And then everybody, like a wife was taking pay cuts and furloughs and – you know, she kept her job, but you know, I look back and think about what you said about the weddings, right? And you think about it now, and you look back. There was nobody in the stands in baseball when they started back up again. What was it, August or July, like late July that year? And they had played in front of no fans.
So I went to opening day at Fenway the next season, and they had people. So they only sold like 20,000, 18,000 seats.
Because they separated people.
They zip-tied the seats in between people so you wouldn't sit in them.
Yeah.
And I remember because we didn't have our usual seats, we were down the right field side. And I remember because John Means pitched for Baltimore, and I'm like, who the hell is this
dude,
guy?
He loves John Means. No matter what, it always comes back to John Means.
I was like, I never heard of this dude. And he goes out there and he pitches a gem, and it was like the crappiest. It was a crappy day. There was no energy. And I'm like, this is a perfect metaphor for this whole garbage pail of an experience of COVID, you know, and no,
think about it. Think about it now when you walk around and you can actually see remnants of it. You'll see that the stickers on the floor, like stand here. And then sometimes when you walk in the buildings, the
face
covering.
Heck, we still have the stupid thermometer and masks in our lobby.
True. Yeah. That's crazy. But then think about high school sports, like when they started back up, only like immediate family, two people could come in my town. You had to wear a mask.
Basketball
outside,
with a mask.
Playing basketball with a mask. I mean, we went and got our Christmas tree.
With masks?
No, they did not.
Oh, yes,
they did not.
Yes,
no
they did.
Way they did that.
Swimming?
I remember seeing it in some states they were swimming with masks. I am not joking.
Just keep your head above the water, right?
Basically waterboarding these kids, like swimming with masks on. It was insane.
Now, I'm different. This is a baseball podcast. We'll get to baseball. But the one thing I will say, I don't take the next step. I truly believe nobody knew what to do. So I don't blame people who made these terrible decisions. And they are my kids have been so negatively impacted by this. I can't even start from screen habits to mental health. My family was hurt tremendously by this. But I don't necessarily have anger at leadership because I don't think anybody knew.
There was no blueprint. There was no blueprint.
Some people feel like there's a lot of blame to go.
I do remember the best. I mean, for me, it was actually, you know, it was a different way to spend time with your family. I mean, yeah, there's screen time and all that, but it was like you were forced to stay together and eat dinner. You were forced to, you know, do things together. You were forced to be in near each other, which could be good, could be bad. I thought it was pretty good. I mean, yes, I was basically unemployed, but I was still kind of freelance doing stuff. So I had more free availability to go do stuff with him. Like I took him on like PE classes during the day.
Yeah, that's because you're a good dad. Like I got paid the same amount of money to work 2 days a week. And I just like it was stir crazy and I didn't want to be around anybody.
I
drank way more. I mean, everything was bad for me.
I kind of found it like, you know, remember when the power went out at your house when you were like a kid or something? You all have like dinner together, like light a couple candles. It's kind of like that, but for like 9 months.
Right. Yeah. No, that's it. And the novelty wore off.
Yeah. It wore off quick, but so different.
So just quickly, then how much later did you approach me about doing the podcast?
Well, I believe we were going to start it. I had talked to you before that. We have been talking about it, but I think the pandemic kind of screwed things up because it pushed the season back, and then
My memory was different. I thought like there was so little to do. You're like, let's do this.
Yeah, but you were like traveling or something, following some campaign. I don't know the whole.
Yeah, I was in New Hampshire for like 6 months.
Yeah, so we were waiting on that, and then the season got pushed back. I can't remember the whole thing, but I just remember that we were sitting in front of a computer screen in a basement.
Right. And then we got to the point where we progressed and you were willing to take the risk to come together. I remember in the middle of the pandemic, we had Rico Bronya in my basement.
Yeah.
That was interesting. And we just started doing it. And then
we were doing it anywhere we could. Like we would meet at like my son's like little like practice and like put two chairs out.
Yeah.
And do it.
Super. And it was like, at first I'm like, oh, what are we doing? And then the more we did it, I'm like, okay, I get it. And then obviously when I came to Odyssey, they picked it up. But
it's
crazy.
I can't even like remember when we started. Like what freaking year was it? Was it 2021 or 2020?
I think it was, if it were 2021. Yeah, because there's no way we did it.
Right, coming out of. I think it was 2021.
Correct. Yeah. And so, and here we are, what, 144?
144.
Which is pretty cool. Let's talk baseball now. To me, that kind of triggers me a little bit. I don't know. Like, the more that the pandemic is in the rearview mirror, I get more disappointed myself for not being productive. You know, I wish I had done more.
I still can't believe I wore a mask outside to get a Christmas tree.
I can't believe
regardless of how you think, it's like a bad movie. Like there's some like dark cloud chasing you. Like I got to get my mask on. Like,
or what if you had a mask on and one of your colleagues at work, because I used to go into the studio for my TV job, was like, that's a little close for me. And I'm like, okay, all right.
Yeah, I wasn't a big fan of people being near me with that. Like the whole uncertainty at the beginning of it, when you're in like a grocery store and like people would like would come up near you, or you'd always have like that one person who was like the rebel, like I'm walking in without the mask.
I had a friend who was in lockdown. I'd go to Costco and get stuff for other people.
Oh yeah.
And it's just bizarre.
Hoarding the toilet paper and the paper towels, remember that?
Yeah.
I forgot all about that. People legit going.
Costco sold out of wipes. Like
couldn't get Lysol to save your life.
People were fighting over Lysol.
Toilet paper, too, yeah.
It was Black Friday every day.
John Senecal, Matt Sirois, Brian Shackman here. Episode 144 of Fan Base, a deep dive into the greatest rivalry in sports. All right, let's talk about a little baseball. There's obviously way more news related to the Yankees because nobody has any expectation for the Sox. We'll talk a little Sox, but I think this, you know, we had Dom Amore from the Hartford Courant who covered the Yankees for years on my radio show, and he, when it came to Gerrit Cole, he really felt that the Yankees usually undersell injuries, so implying that it could be worse, and I'm just curious how you guys feel.
You want to go first?
I'm nervous. I'm obviously nervous about, you know, the Yankees not having Gerrit Cole. I'm still not convinced either that he's going to pitch this year because
these things in baseball tend to go from that to the 60-day to the...
It's just... And the Yankees have been notorious for that, too. And that they say it's, you know, they'll shut him down for a month or two, but the reality is, he's been shut down for like 4 months. I'm sure these guys are working out and everything, but they're not working out like they do during the season.
But does that mean maybe he didn't throw enough in the off season? Like, I wonder.
Who
knows?
No, I doubt
it. If it was bothering him towards the end of September and he was like, oh, just the off season will
heal. A little rest and he'll work it out. But they train year round. I mean, so initially I thought the Yankees were downplaying it because there was still pitchers and free agents available, right? Not that they were going to sign and go above the luxury tax and all that with a free agent, but Cease goes off the board, and now it doesn't look like the Yankees are going to do anything but stand pat and work on the back end of the rotation with what they have. So maybe they're not downplaying it. I thought they downplayed it to keep the price down, right? If they were going to get somebody. That being said, the Yankees have been through this with Tanaka before, and he basically rested the whole season and came back, and everyone wanted him to go under the knife, and he came back fine and was perfectly fine. They're saying it's nerve irritation for Gerrit Cole. And they've had, three different doctors plus another doctor look at it.
What the hell is that?
It's not anything structural, apparently. So they're not going to do anything. I mean, I think the Yankees are thinking this. If you rest him, guaranteed he's supposed to rest 1 month, right, and then begin a throwing program, which is probably not going to happen because they'll be cautious and do 2 months. If you see him back, I would think maybe by a little after the All-Star break.
So you're talking April, May before you pick up a baseball. So then it's at least
June.
The end of June.
Barring no setbacks. And then that could be hamstrings, back, anything, right? If you're not doing what you need to do, right?
If he's not staying active at all either, he's got to be doing something.
Right, but you're still not pitching, right? And that's a whole muscle memory thing that you could screw up coming back if you come back too fast. And a lot of it, I'm sure, is going to play into how the Yankee season is going. If the Yankees are getting dragged through the mud and not playing well, and it's like last season, it might be more of a issue to get them back or for them to press the panic button and go out and get players. We don't know how that's going to happen. We don't know what's happening with Judge. You know, he hasn't taken a bat since you talked about his stupid toe.
But you said it's not his toe, though. It's his back.
It's his lower abdominal, lower body tightness he always has.
So not an oblique, though.
He had MRIs, too. But getting back to Cole, I mean, listen, as Yankee fans, I guess, if true, best case scenario, given the fact that we're sitting there thinking Tommy John, right? That's what you're thinking. You're waiting for the tweet or whatever. And that tweet didn't come. So as far as I'm concerned, it's great news for the Yankees. As far as Cole going forward, time will tell.
And then this LeMahieu thing, I mean, I know he's not – I mean, listen, with Stanton and everybody else, they got plenty of bats. But, I mean, does that matter to you that he's got a toe?
It definitely matters. I mean, he dealt with it last year, too. The
toe's been jerking him around. He fouled the ball off his foot.
What's up with these guys?
I joked around. I'm like, just cut the damn thing off. But obviously not going to do that. It's a joke. But at the same time, like it seems so simple to us. It's like, it's just a toe. What the hell is the problem?
No, I mean, I know how big a factor it is when you step and weight distribution. But I just get back, you know, like, and watching hockey guys and whatever, like, it just seems so soft. It's just all of it seems so soft.
Well, I mean, the pitching stuff is aside, but the problem is when it affects what you're doing, it sucks. Well, it just, yeah, it, like
hockey players play through it. If they're not going to get further hurt. I don't know. I just feel like everything's going to be perfect like,
but,
for these guys.
Give me like an injury that a hockey player is playing through. First of all, they never tell you that they're hurt. Like, right, when have you ever heard an injury report?
No, but
in
now
hockey?
They say lower body. But I've seen guys with like with like burst bursa sacs where they can't even put their elbow on a table,
right,
and they'll create this sort of space and vacuum and they'll play. I've seen, you know, separated shoulders. I've seen, you know,
I've seen sutured heels and ankles.
Yeah, I mean,
pitch.
Okay, start. Do you think that's a myth, by the way?
What, the bloody sock, yeah, with spaghetti sauce?
Yeah. Are you a believer in the shilling?
I saw it at the Hall of Fame, Brian. I sent a picture of it to you back in the day.
I know, but it looked a little tomato-y.
I didn't touch it. I didn't smell it.
I don't know. Listen, I understand all that stuff. I just feel like sometimes the baseball stuff is kind of almost comical, what knocks them out of the lineup. That's all. I'm not saying it's not legit. I'm just saying
there are some weird injuries out there.
It's just kind of nuts.
But I feel like these injuries are things that are gonna be sitting over these players' heads, right? I mean, Aaron Judge, regardless of what you say, well, you know, he's a professional, he knows how to get ready. Bullshit. I mean, you got to take at bats, right? You have to hit off live pitching,
yep,
to be ready. I don't care who you are.
So he's not even taking BP right now.
They said he finally took some cage stuff, I guess, the other day. You know, the other day, not yesterday.
Right.
Not yesterday.
Well, I heard also he was supposed to start Wednesday, March 20th.
Right. Not tomorrow.
not
this coming weekend.
No. But like the 20th.
You're such a Wednesday jackass.
That's a good segue, though, Brian, about this coming weekend, because our man Trevor Bauer is pitching against the Yankees.
But you guys are like, everyone's like, it's so stupid that he's not signed. But if I ran a team, even if the guy's innocent, that's a PR problem. Like, I don't blame teams for not signing him. Even listen, if he's a little kinky and he's not breaking the law, that's great. But it's sort of the genie's out of the bottle, and it's kind of toxic. So,
but there's not one of those 30 teams has
you think
against the grain mentality. We're finishing last place.
You think it's just collusion? Is that what you're saying?
Absolutely, 100%.
So like Kaepernick kind of thing,
Canseco, the whole gamut, all the guys that blackballed. We talked about this last episode. The guys who get in, the guys who get out. I think he has been a thorn in MLB's side since the day he stepped on the mound.
You think
Trevor Bauer?
You think that that's some sort of collusion? Then why doesn't he file some big lawsuit?
I think he's done with the lawsuits. Yeah. I don't think he wants to spend any more time in court.
I don't think he wants to step anywhere near our courtroom.
Yeah.
But I found it funny, and so did he apparently on Twitter when Domingo Germán got picked up.
Yeah, by yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
He typed in LOL and hit the send.
That guy's
that guy hit his wife at CC Sabathia's charity event. Charity event.
Yeah.
He hit his wife. And
same exact thing. She dropped the charges. Marcelo Ozuna.
Yeah. But the Yankees gave Domingo Germán a pass, like brought him back on the team, and then he got drunk in the clubhouse.
And they still gave him a pass, and he threw a perfect game.
It's insane. So this guy who's been acquitted of all charges, I understand there's still like maybe one or two still pending or something. My thing is, why not? He said he's going to take the league minimum. Give him the $500,000. What risk is it? Give him the $500,000. Let him pitch three times. If his ERA is over 4.5, 5, say, you know what? Here's a first-class ticket over to Japan. We'll see you later.
I'm going to tell you another thing. The Yankees of old, Steinbrenner Yankees,
they'd have done it.
They would have done it.
They would have embraced it.
They would have embraced it. Like, he was all about second chances. Gooden, Strawberry, Billy Martin a zillion times. Like, even Yogi Berra came back, and they had that big myth.
It's a fair point.
I believe if this was the old Yankees, they would have done it. So that's why I'm telling you. I believe 100% that there is a collusion against Trevor Bauer to play in the MLB.
Well, to me, too, like, with the Yankees signing Marcus Stroman, I mean, Marcus Stroman is not a peach. And
oh, but
all
he's
right as well.
Yeah, but
he doesn't have a legal problem.
That's
not
he's
a fair.
Just
that's
an outspoken kind of like a flashy player. That's
not
all.
A fair
but he even
comp.
Said that they offered him opening day to pitch, and he was like, no.
He doesn't fit the Yankee mold. But then again, doesn't Verdugo doesn't either.
Yeah, gonna say no to take the ball on opening day.
I like Stroman.
I do too. But he doesn't fit the mold. But again, like the Yankees, like. I feel like they would have given him a chance.
Yeah.
I feel like Trevor Bauer deserves a chance, in my opinion.
Now, he's made his money, right? He got to keep his money.
From the Dodgers, they had to pay him.
He got to keep that, right? So it's not like he needs the money. He just wants to play.
Well, when he pitches against the Yankees on March 24th, I hope he mows the Yankees down.
Yeah.
Do you think that would move? Well, I mean, it's the same thing. Like, there's after all the backup quarterbacks you've seen in the NFL, you can't tell me Kaepernick for now he's too old, but he couldn't have had a job. You know, he 100%. Could have had a job. Yeah. So I think that there's a lot to it, John. I think that you're probably onto something on that. I can't really go against that grain, but we'll see what happens if he pitches well.
He's been pitching well, though. I mean, it baffles me.
All right, last thing here. We're talking with John Senecal. I'm Brian Shackman with Matt Sarois, episode 144 of Fan Base, a deep dive into the greatest rivalry in sports. So Blake Snell's off the board, and that just leaves J-Mo, Jordan Montgomery, and Boris is looking. I don't want to get into the union stuff because I don't understand all of it, but Boris, to me, is kind of doing a disservice to his client, but I don't know what offers are out there for Jordan. He's a lefty who's a top five starter. Like, there's a market for this guy. I don't understand it.
Well, I would think there's at least a two-year, $62 million deal for him or right around that area. The creative thing is these guys are all getting these opt-outs now after every year, even like right down to Wandy Peralta, signed with the Padres. Right. Every year, he's got to opt-out on his four-year deal. So very creative contracts, and like Snell's getting some of his signing bonus in 2026. He might not even be on the team, but we all know that's not a big deal as far as deferred money goes. I mean, obviously he's not coming to the Yankees, Montgomery. He's not going to the Sox.
Is he a clubhouse issue or is there a personal problem there?
I'm guessing it's still probably an asking price. I'm guessing given even the climate with Snell, they're probably asking for more years because he's so-called more dependable, even though he doesn't have the accolades that Snell has. Snell has not been great over the last 6 years. He's off and on, right?
Would you give Montgomery three for 75?
Maybe three for 65 to 70 with some signing bonuses or something, but I don't know. I mean, like you said, he's a big left-hander. It's kind of like, reminds me of Andy Pettit. When he was on the Yankees, I was like, he's like Andy Pettit. He's like reliable, big lefty that can mow down anybody or get a good ground ball when he needs it too.
And he posts. Yeah. He takes the hill too. I just don't get it. Like why he hasn't got at least a $25 million a year contract from somebody. I kind of
wonder if it's Scott Boras type of thing too, but
it could be
knocking. Like, I don't know.
It's happened in the past with players signing late, and it could be a sign where these owners get together and they're just like, you know, I'm tired of this guy. I'm tired of these 13-year deals. I'm tired of being pushed into this stuff.
Total dollars are down, even with the big contracts. Total dollars are down. I don't like the salary structure of any of it, all the sports. So
we're only like 2 years away, 2 years removed from these huge mega deals these guys were signing, like the Bogarts and everybody that were going to push them to their 40s. So, I mean, I blame the owners just as much as anybody for doling out this money across the board.
Yeah, I just don't think the sport's worth it. You know, I just don't. I think ultimately, whereas the NFL, the revenue's there, I just think baseball eventually is going to hurt itself. You know, and there's going to be some teams that either aren't competitive or that have existential crises.
Well, the Padres just recently, I mean, they're a competitive team that had to figure out their money situation. That was one of the reasons they got rid of Soto, even though he was, you know, going to be a free agent after the following season. They didn't want to have to pay him $30 million this year.
I think the NFL is going to set up a division in Europe at some point. Like, I wonder if they would do something, like have an international wing of, like, because Korea and Japan, baseball it's arguably bigger than it is in most of the major league markets here.
You mean like having foreign teams play against MLB teams as part of the regular?
Yeah, I don't know.
I think it just all comes down to travel and timing. I think that's the big issue.
Well, so when we get the Beam Me Up Scotty technology, we could do it.
Yeah, we got to get Elon Musk cracking, man. Screw Mars, man. We want to get to Japan in an hour.
So we'll talk to you sometime next week, whether it be a Monday or a Tuesday.
So that would be the Wednesday. What's the date? We're looking at 5th, 6th, and 7th. Because the opening season starts next Thursday.
The 28th, correct.
Yeah. Oh, you guys are so lovely. John, I really enjoy our conversations every week.
It's been a blast as usual, you know? I can't believe we're 4 years removed from wearing masks everywhere we went.
It's crazy. Although it really helped the weed business, but we can talk about that next episode. You've been listening to episode 144 of Fan Base, a deep dive into the greatest rivalry in sports.